Jesus.
Yes, we do love you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Thank you that you died for us, made a way so that we can be with the Father. We can experience moments like this on earth where we can just be with you. We thank you for that. As we open your word, we ask that you speak to our hearts. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well done to our team. Let's give them a hand. Let's give the people in the sound desk a hand. So if you don't know how this works, these guys practice a lot. They dress fancy and all these different things, but there's only one guy that makes them sound good or bad, and that's the sound guy at the back. So that's why they frown sometimes when something happens, because then the sound man doesn't make them sound good. It's good to have you with us. So, I have all that I need. Do you have all that you need? Okay, don't you want to take a moment? Just think through the messages from the last couple of weeks, and then maybe just turn to someone next to you or close to you and just quickly share what is the one message that has stood out for you thus far and that you've been able to implement in your life, or there was a breakthrough in that area, whatever the case might be. Take a moment, share with someone what your thoughts are on that. My wife is all alone. Someone come chat to my wife. Okay, quickly exchange telephone numbers, and then you can meet up after service, and you can continue the conversation. Okay, so we are continuing with the next one. So this morning we want to look at the fact that God is my victory. And as I was walking up here, maybe somewhere in the back of my mind I had this idea that this will be an incredibly fiery and exciting and stirred up and passionful message. And as I walked up, I just felt the gentleness of God. And I think it might come out slightly differently this morning. He is my victory, and that's it. It's settled. It's done. We don't have to battle that battle. We can come from a place of victory and continue to walk in His victory. So the specific part in Psalm 23 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." It's almost just a statement of fact. If we look at the journey, He's declared all the wonderful things that God has provided and built into His life. He said that even when I walk through the dark and difficult spaces, the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is right there with me. And then He just declares, "My God prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies." Unpack that just a little bit. So this table that He's talking about, what's the symbolism of that? It's a banquet. It's a feasting meal. It's a meal that is enjoyed or celebrated after the victory. And David declares that even when I'm still facing my enemy, He's right there in my presence. God comes and He prepares this meal of victory. And we have meals across the Bible. Last week we celebrated communion. It's a meal of victory where God comes and He declares that the victory is in me. And as long as you are on earth and as often as you come together and you remember, you can partake of this meal and you can celebrate and you can remember that victory that is with Him. This meal speaks of provision. It's food, something that we can eat. It speaks of His provision in the midst of our enemies. It speaks of His protection because He's there. The enemy is there and he wants to maybe harass us a little bit more, but God steps into that moment and He's there with us. It speaks of His fellowship. I think one of the most beautiful words or phrases in this sentence is that God is the one who comes and he's the one who prepares the meal. Some of you might have been to one of these fancier restaurants where they actually, you sit and they watch as they prepare the meal for you. Can you imagine God coming down, being in your presence, and He's chopping the vegetables and searing the meat and adding the sauce, plating it for you, putting it in front of you, He's there. For those of us, or those of you, I don't know if I want to include myself in this, those of you who love to cook, why do you do that? Because you love your family and you want to bless them with that meal. And there's this well-known saying in the culinary art that it's the ingredient of love that makes the meal taste best. That's what God does. He comes and He says, I want to be with you and I want to prepare this meal for you in the midst and the presence of your enemy. And then lastly, it just simply speaks of His victory. God steps in and He says, it's done, it's over. The enemy might still be there throwing a tantrum or two. God just steps in and He says, it's over. Let's bring out the meal to celebrate the fact that the victory is done and the victory is settled. So we have this victory banquet. And we have this picture of heaven where there will be this feast. And we've read about that and we understand that. But there's a prophecy in Isaiah that puts this beautifully. This is before the victory of Jesus. He says, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations, and He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all the faces. He will remove His people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. And if you look at this, and it reminds us so much of the promises that is contained in the book of Revelation, the wedding feast that is being prepared, the bride that will be presented to the bridegroom Jesus. The fact that the tears will be wiped away. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. There will be the finality of His victory. And if we want to think about our own victory, it's got to start from understanding the victory that Christ purchased for us. I think a lot of our battle is with ourselves and is with the fact that sometimes we don't really believe what God has said. If we truly have faith that God's word is true and what He said will be done, then we don't have to work up faith. We don't have to clench our teeth and stretch our back and do something strange and declare that we are in a place of faith. No. Our faith is not in the circumstance or the outcome or whatever might happen. Our faith is simply in God. Our trust is in Him. That He is my victory. That He is able. That He knows what He's doing. And that I'm able to rest in that victory. And when Christ died on the cross, it says He cancelled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. The enemy has been stripped of his power. He's been defeated. He's been disarmed. It's because the record of the charges against us has been cancelled. It's been wiped away. In Revelation, Jesus declares, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. In Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4, we read about Jesus literally descending into hell, into the place of death. And if we put all these verses together, we can picture something, and that is Jesus stepping into the place of death and taking the keys of death back. And the grave could not hold Him, and He rose to life. And our victory is in that. Our victory is in the fact that the grave could not keep him. He conquered, he won. And it is from that place that you and I get to live in victory. Our victory is in Christ. It's because of Christ. And there's a couple of beautiful verses in the New Testament. Romans 8:37. You might want to make a note of this and maybe spend some time in the week just pondering on them. Now, despite all these, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Not just a normal victory, it's an overwhelming victory. It's a whitewash. We're running away with the game. The victory is ours in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57, that passage deals with death, our final enemy. Paul declares, but thanks be to God, for he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the passage where it says, O death, where is your sting? Where is your power? Where is your ability to hold anything against us? And Paul simply declares, thanks be to God, for in him we have the victory. In 1 John 5:4-5, it says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If we go back to our Psalm 23 language, who can have the victory? Those who declare the Lord forever. Those who keep the faith. If you read the book of Revelations, it says, the crown of victory will be given to those who stay faithful to the end. Not those who started out well, but those who also finish with the Lord. Those who declare the Lord forever, will be able to stand in this victory. And it might seem like a complete oversimplification, because you might say, but you don't understand my circumstance. And the truth is, I don't. But the other truth is, it doesn't matter, because the victory has been won and purchased by Jesus Christ. And he makes that available to us. And we can declare with David, the Lord is my victory. He is the one who comes and prepares the feast of celebration with me in the presence of my enemies. I want to focus on a couple of practical things. Maybe you feel outnumbered. Now, there's a number of ways that you can feel outnumbered. Maybe if you look at your bank statement, you feel outnumbered. The money going out is more than the money coming in. Maybe if you look at your business, you feel outnumbered because the contracts have dried up. You've got a number of students here. Maybe you feel outnumbered when you get your marks back. There's a number of ways that we can feel outnumbered. Maybe it is just because it feels like the attack is so strong, and there's so many people, and it's so numerous, the ones that come against us, that we feel outnumbered. Gideon was outnumbered. He said that the armies of the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camel were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. He's completely outnumbered. So he gathers his troops, and there's about 32,000 that show up. He's still completely outnumbered. And God does something profound. He says to Gideon, there's too many people here. God, how can that be? We are completely outnumbered. So Gideon says to the troops, if you are scared or you don't want to be here, you don't want to fight this battle, you can go home. And 22,000 go home, and only 10,000 stay less. And Gideon thinks to himself, okay, now we're a little bit more outnumbered, but at least we still have 10,000. And God says, that's too many. And we know the story where they have to drink water, and only 300 drinks in the right way and is chosen to continue this battle. Now they are completely outnumbered. And God says the following, I want you to understand that this victory will never be because of your strength. It will not be because of your numbers, but it will be because of me. And God steps into that space of being completely outnumbered, and he brings about a victory. You feel outnumbered this morning? Maybe you just facing a completely impossible situation. You're hanging on by your fingernails. And the circumstance and the enemy that comes against you is just, it's just completely impossible. You're not going to make it. You see, all these stories that we learned from childhood was written in the Bible so that we can have faith. And that we can understand that God is able to turn the impossible into the possible. The Israelites crossed the Jordan. There was an impossibility in that, and yet they crossed over. And they get to the first city that they have to attack, the city of Jericho. And it's a walled city, it's a fortified city. And it says that the gates are shut. No one can come in or come out. And in that circumstance, you cannot conquer that city. It is impossible. God says, this is what I want you to do. And he gives them instructions. And the end of that is literally that these walls that are the protection that keeps the impossibility in place literally just crumbles and falls away. What is the impossibility that you are facing in your life? Can you hang on to God and allow him to bring you the victory in that space? Maybe you just feel too small. Maybe it's a little bit overwhelming and daunting, and this thing that you're facing is just so much bigger than you. When David faces the giant, it's not about the weapons. It's not about the tactics. It's not about the skill of the warrior. It is simply, I come against you in the name of my God. You come with your weapons. You come with your sticks. You come with your skill. You come with your strength. But I come because the Lord is my Lord forever. And because he is with me, everything changes. David is still smaller. His reach was still less. But if we come in the name of the Lord, it looks different. Maybe you feel like you're drowning. Feels like the enemy is just everywhere. No matter where you look, there's an attack and there's an arrow, and you just can't keep the shield in the right place, and maybe you're about to lose your balance and fall and be defeated. You see, the disciples were in a similar situation. Jesus was in the boat with them. He was so at peace that he was actually sleeping in the midst of the storm. And they wake him up and they say, teacher, don't you care that we are about to drown? And Jesus stands up and he rebukes the wind and the storm, and it dies down. And the disciples literally look at each other and they say, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Friend, maybe it's time that you wake up Jesus. Maybe it's time that you stop battling this storm by yourself. See, Jesus is never far from us. It is us that move away from Him. It is we that want to do it with our 32,000 troops like Gideon. It's we that have the plan to try and do it in our own strength. And the moment they wake up Jesus, He stands up and He calms the storm. Maybe you're just stuck. Maybe you're just in a place where you feel bound and feels like you're going nowhere. You're just going around in circles. Paul and Silas is literally in a prison. Worship team, you guys can come back up. He's literally in a prison. And in the midst of the prison, what do they do? In Acts chapter 16, they sing songs and they praise God. They declare, "The Lord is my Lord forever. No matter where I find myself, I will lift my voice and I will sing." As the story unfolds in the book of Acts chapter 16, it says that the locks just opened. The doors just opened up. The shackles just fell off. And they got up and they walked out. I want to remind you that if the Lord is your Lord forever, the beginning and the end of the book of Psalm 23, or the chapter 23, then everything inside is mine. And this victory is there because of Jesus. And it is simply something we can walk in. Faith is not the clenching of my teeth. It's not the stirring up of emotion. Faith is simply understanding the truth that when Jesus died, He disarmed the enemy. When He hung on that cross and He said, "It is finished," it was done. It was over. And the victory is His. And now He comes and He leads us in that victory. He extends that victory to us. My faith is in the fact that the work of Jesus was enough. My faith is in Him being my victory. So when the Israelites faced their impossible circumstance, we spoke about it a week or two ago, might have been last week. They have the Red Sea in front of them. They have mountains to the sides, and they have the Egyptian army coming from the back. God says, or Moses says to them, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." And I encourage you that that space where you need a victory. I know it's challenging. I know it's difficult. I understand that at times you might feel like you want to give up. I understand that at times you might say, "I'm not really sure if God is able to help me or if God wants to help me." Maybe you've tried to waking up and it feels like Jesus is still sleeping. Can I encourage you to not be afraid? Can I encourage you to just stand still, to watch and see how the Lord rescues you, how the Lord prepares a table in your presence in front of your enemies? Because the Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. And I invite you to stand with us. Now, there's two groups of people here. Those who say, I'm in trouble this morning. I'm fighting my battle and I might be losing my battle. And there might be others who say, I know what it is to taste victory and I'm walking in my victory. It's as simple as that. And we're not going to identify these two groups. We're going to sing the song that we sang earlier again, the battle belongs to the Lord. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to be like Paul and Silas, sitting in that jail, locked up in the middle of the night, in the middle of this storm, in the middle of being outnumbered, in the middle of being too small. They simply cried out to God, and God brought them the victory. So if you are in that space, I want you to cry out like you've never cried out to God before, and allow Him to bring the victory. If you are standing in victory this morning, I want you to help those who are battling and who are struggling. And I want you not to then sing for yourself, but I want you to sing for those. May your words be a prophetic proclamation to those standing around you, saying that this battle belongs to the Lord, and in Him we will have our victory. Father, we lift up our voices to You, and we declare that You will bring the victory that You've already accomplished in Jesus. May it manifest in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Father, as Your children, we want to rest in Your victory. We want to enjoy the meal that You prepare for us, a meal of celebration. Thank You that You are with us and that nothing can stand against us. Father, I pray that as we go into this week, You would give us the specific strategy. Should we pick up 5 stones? Should we walk around 7 times? Should we reduce the army to 300? What should we do? Father, we are excited to hear Your voice. We are eager to obey You and to step into the victory that You have for us. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.